check in with the general manager of the Calgary Flames. Welcome back to the program. Pat Steinberg, Ryan Pinder, and now Brad Treliving joins us on the Grey Eagle Resort and Casino Guest Hotline. Brad, I know it's a busy day, so appreciate this. Let's jump right in. I know you qualified 8 players today, decide not to qualify 5. Just a thought on the 5 players not qualified by the organization today.
Well, I think if you go down the list, there's probably, you know, different circumstances for different guys. And, you know, at the end of the day, you have 50 contracts that you're able to use. And, you know, sometimes you have to make some difficult decisions. And, you know, that's really probably at the end of the day, you know, the determining factor. There's only so many contracts to go around. And as I say to our guys all the time, you know, each year that goes by, you're drafting players, you're graduating players, you know, from junior college, signing players. So you make decisions each year. So, you know, probably at the end of the day, that's probably the determining factor, but there's different, you know, in some cases there's, different circumstances and, but you make those decisions and move forward.
Specifically when it comes to Curtis Lazar, I know that for both team and player hasn't gone exactly how everybody had envisioned it to, but I also know there's a great deal of appreciation for Curtis the person and what he's been internally for the organization. What's the latest on his future with the team, and how difficult was this decision specifically about him?
Yeah, well, Curtis is a guy, obviously, we traded for and played a pretty good asset for, going back a couple of years and really taking a swing on him. And where Curtis's situation, I can tell you, Pat, we continue to talk to his representatives right now, J.P. Barry. You know, we've made him a contract offer. We've told him we'd like to have him back. But from a QO perspective, you know, what his QO was and what we felt potential ramifications were in terms of arbitration and where that contract could get to, we would prefer to negotiate a settlement versus going the QO route and the potential ramifications that could have. And so we've outlined that to both Curtis and his representative. And, you know, we're going to see where this goes to over the course of the next little bit here. Now, obviously, once you don't QO him, that allows him, you know, to hit the market and talk to other teams. But, you know, he's a kid we still think a lot of. It hasn't gone exactly how everybody wanted to. But at the same token, we still think that there's, you know, an opportunity here for Curtis. Still think a lot of the individual, and we'll see where it goes to. That you know, there may be something that happens or may not, but in his particular situation, you know, just not wanting to get involved in dealing with the QO and some of the fallout that could happen from that, as you said, our preference is to get a negotiated settlement. If we can come to that, great. If not, then, you know, we wish him all the best and we'll move on.
I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, but your first summer with the organization, kind of a similar scenario with Paul Byron. You didn't qualify him, and a day later you did end up signing him, correct?
Yep. And back in that, we'd had a lot of conversation with Paul and expressed again our interest in the player, but just, you know, wanting to try to get to a settlement versus leaving it in the hands of somebody else, if you will. And so we're going to see if we're able to get to a conclusion similarly with Curtis, and, you know, we'll see. I'm not sure what the outcome will be yet, but you know, that one's to be determined, but we'll know here shortly.
And just a quick follow-up on that, you would be talking about one of your 50 NHL contracts, not an AHL only deal?
Correct. We're looking at a two-way contract.
And just, when you talk about, 'cause I know that, you know, we talk about qualifying offers and we talk about players becoming unrestricted free agents and retaining rights. The actual, the number that a player signs for or is qualified at, there are rules that go into it in terms of percentage that needs to be added. Like, there are financial things that go into this conversation. Can you explain a little bit, not even specific to one player, but what goes into determining whether or not you qualify a player or not?
Well, a lot of things. I mean, obviously, there's certain qualifiers that went out today that were just normal course. You know, obviously, Matthew Tkachuk, Andrew Mangiapane, those are, you know, players that this is part of the process to retain their rights. And obviously, that was not in any doubt that we were going to go do that. And we qualified those players a number of, you know, quite early in the process here. So those are going out a while ago. But, you know, the basic rule is once you qualify that player, you have that player's rights. And I guess to dovetail back into the Curtis situation, and we've had others before, where you do qualify them, what it does do is, yes, you maintain their rights, but it does then trigger some other things, arbitration being one. You know, they become eligible, and you see it throughout the league here right now, where some people may say, you know, geez, there's been a, you know, what I think is a pretty good player that wasn't qualified, and I wouldn't say in all cases, because I don't know everybody's specific situation, but, you know, a lot of those are based upon what certain rights the player has if he's qualified. And in a lot of cases, you're seeing now more and more, you know, that does trigger the player's arbitration eligible rights, and it may come in, you may like the player, may like the player a lot, but you may want an outcome that excludes, you know, an arbitration decision. So there's, in long and short of it, Pat, is once you've qualified him, you're maintaining that player's rights. You're also absorbing what else could come with that. And so arbitration, I would say, or the potential for arbitration is mm-hmm. probably the biggest question that you look at. And does the number get to a number, you know, that doesn't necessarily fit in your pay structure?
He's the GM of the Calgary Flames, Brad Tree, living with us on Pinder and Steinberg.
Brad, just a thought on the weekend in Vancouver. You've now got, I believe, 5 drafts under your belt, and maybe one more given the early arrival ahead of that you were involved with this organization. Would it be fair to say that staples of your draft philosophy would be prioritize skill and don't draft by position?
Yeah, certainly. That's I mean, even looking at our first pick, and there's always, you know, you debate it as you go through your list, but you know, probably our strongest position, certainly at the NHL level, is on left wing, and we ended up drafting another left winger. So you're always cognizant of where, you know, organizationally you are position-wise, but you have to draft the best player. And it's my job to make sure that you alter that reserve list through other means, but we're not going to pass a player that our staff wants and we feel fits best with our criteria just because certain positional need. By the time these players arrive in the league, your positional need today may be different 3, 4, or 5 years down the road. So, you know, we held strong in terms of, you know, the criteria that we have and what we value and what we think is important in the players that we've selected, and feel good about the group. And, you know, I caution everybody, this draft will be, you know, I know there'll be all sorts of judgments made on draft day, but the reality is this group's going to be judged, you know, 2, 3, 4 years down the road, not 2, 3, 4 weeks down the road. So, you know, the guys were prepared, our board was set up properly, and, you know, guys are real happy with the picks we made, but we'll check back in a few years and see how successful we were.
Don't think I've ever heard you on the record speaking about it, but I've always been curious about, you know, since the KHL has become a league that really can offer huge money, the whole notion of risk involved with Russian players is something that organization to organization, there's a bunch of different philosophies on. Suddenly you've got a critical mass of Russian players. You've signed Yelesin and Zagdulin this past spring. You've got Zavgorodny in the system, and you drafted another Russian here. Do you think that compiling more players from the same place of a different culture, you have a better chance of success with them?
Yeah, we've talked a lot about it. We didn't necessarily set out to, you know, target a certain area. Each of those files, Ryan, is a little bit different, and they're independent. Nothing's necessarily tied together. Comes back again, and if you separate them, they're sort of independent of each other. And you know, in this year's draft, when we drafted Ilya, he was a guy that we've, you know, watched for a long time, and again, plays a premier position at center ice, a real smart two-way centerman. And, you know, but having said that, he's played in a real prominent offensive roles, both on his club team, and then when you look internationally on the last U18 teams, he centered the number one line, has been a really important player the last couple of years, and, you know, even going back further in his career. The one thing with those Russian players is you have to do a lot of research. You know, and you see, you know, it's different today. A lot of them are coming over. You see, you know, a number of them playing, whether it be even in the CHL. But you have to do your due diligence to know where they are contractually, because those without a transfer agreement between the two leagues, the contracts are upheld. So if you've got term on a contract, as Ilya does, Ilya is 2 years on an existing contract with Yaroslavl, and I would be remiss to say that, you know, getting information, there's a lot of information. You got to sort of sort through it to make sure you're getting the right information out there. But again, we're not going to look at the passport. If we think that there's ability there, that there's talent there, and that we think there's an NHL future, we're not predisposed for where the player is born or where he's from. We think these are, you know, again, you sort them and you go through the process no different than you would from a North American of, you know, you stay steadfast in your criteria, what you think is important. If they're from Russia or Red Deer, it really doesn't matter.
Just a couple more with the GM of the Calgary Flames, Brad Treliving, on the program this afternoon. With all of the internal business that you've got on your plate, we know about Tkachuk and some other contracts. Would it be safe to say that free agency, unrestricted free agency, come July 1st this year, maybe not going to be a big hunting ground for you? Would that be a safe assumption?
That's probably a pretty good assumption, looking at our situation here. You know, regardless of your internal business, we'll call it, I think the job is to make sure you're on top of what's going on around. And, you know, it's obviously, you know, we're in this courting period, talking period, whatever you want to call it. So you're certainly trying to keep your fingers in it and see what may be happening around the league, or, you know, what, you know, sort of the appetite is for people. But I think it's fair to say that, you know, we're not going to be out big game hunting here come July 1st. You know, I think you're seeing it now. I spoke before the draft and, you know, did talk a lot about, you know, lots of activity, lots of discussions, but at least my sense in talking to managers for the last, you know, 2.5 months, 2 months before the draft is, you know, there's some financial pressures throughout the league right now. And I thought that was going to limit a lot of the movement or perceived movement that could take place. And I think that bore itself out. There was some deals.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you tie those, you know, the one commonality between all those deals is, you know, they were, in a lot of cases, were financially motivated. So I think that, you know, we're going to see some deals. We've seen deals today. We're going to see them leading up to July 1st. And then I think you're still going to see activity throughout the summer, where sometimes, you know, for the most part, you know, you get through July 1st and, you know, it's crickets, you know, about the 3rd of July. I think you're going to see business being done throughout the summer. And, you know, because I think there's still lots of juggling to be done and everybody's trying to make their roster better, but you know, you've got business to attend to as we do and other teams do that, you know, this may take up until September or October, that maybe sometimes in years past you have done earlier. So, we'll be looking around and seeing if there's ways to help ourselves. But I don't think we certainly probably won't be the headliners.
I think you also covered what would have been my follow-up question there, Brad. So with that, we will let you go. Appreciate the generosity of your time, as always, and enjoy the rest of your week. Thank you so much.
You bet. Good talking to you guys.